welcome those of you who are already here. I think it will become really full. That's what I heard. But it's what we start already today. I thought to give a little welcoming lecture. I'm just now coming from London, from an Avanti retreat. That means a retreat for the teachers of our Avanti schools. It was very interesting. We had a private venue in the midst of Wales. Trained about 60 to 70 teachers who will take care of their in their schools of like 2,000 children. Hare Krishna, thank you. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. So very nice to see all over the world signs of spiritual growth, and it is also very nice to come back to a place like Goloka Dham, where everything is more peaceful and more like, not like London, where so much happens at the same time. Yes, let us sing a little bit, and then I will give my welcoming lecture. Good. See a few known faces, happy faces. I said to one of the guests, let us celebrate. Some of you look a little tired and too serious. Let us celebrate. Sometimes we need to know the art to relax and take a holiday from our minds. So this is a spiritual celebration. Let's take a holiday from our mind and let us celebrate. Hare Krishna. Jai Radha Madhava, and then we can sing the gratitude.
Thank you. Yamuna Tira Anaja
Yamuna Tira
Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Hare
Thank you.
Krishna Vishraya Bhutale Shivati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pasharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Askatyare Shatharine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadara Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Once again, welcome everybody to this 3 or 4 days of festivals. We will have tomorrow a lecture and a disciple meeting, and then Lord Nityananda's appearance day, and afterwards my insignificant birthday, and then I fly the next day to India, to Mayapur, and I'm really begging the devotees to give me some physical strength. I don't know how I will be able to do this, but somehow it will do. I see we have guests who are the first time here. It is our habit that when we give lectures, the mothers with the young children take care of their children at another place, not in the lecture hall, because the children will... Where is a good place?
We have given in the library a sense that
the player
also get the lecture.
Oh, direct TV for the children. up in the library. Maybe someone can help. Charu, in a few years you will be with us. a few years. If it's up to Charu, this child is very. It's a child of Lord Nishinga. If it's up to him, he's so enthusiastic. He would give the lectures. If it's up to him. few years. Only few years. What's a few years? Today I wanted to speak as an opening to our festival about the power of blessings. I had made a personal experience only 1 month ago, where I thought very much about this. After a wonderful pilgrimage to India and a few retreats, two retreats there, which Burijan Prabhu and myself had given, I had come back to the Western world, to Germany, and I remember I didn't feel happy to be back. Devotees came to me and said, you have arrived yesterday. And I said, I will never arrive. but because, I didn't want to discourage anyone, I just kept it inside, that feeling of not being quite at home, not being quite where you wish to be. Then, after I had spent maybe 2 weeks in our Gora Bhavan, our little ashram, the Sangamela festival came here. It was a festival which we always celebrate between the years. I remember while I was in the car driving down to here, we had a preaching engagement on the way, but as I was driving down to here, I thought I will make this visit a conscious pilgrimage. Srila Prabhupada said that wherever the deities are worshipped, that is not the material world. It's a Vaikuntha world. And I spoke to one of our pujaris. This pujari supplied a quotation from the Hari Bhakti Vilas, where it said, wherever there are 12 shilas, shalagram shilas, these are parts of the personal body of the Lord, wherever 12 shalagram shilas are worshipped, that is a topmost holy place. So in my mind I thought, let me consciously go now to Goloka Dham the way I go to Vrindavan in India. Let me understand this is a totally spiritual place where the Lord is present. It's a place of pilgrimage where even devatas, that means beings from higher planets, come. And by coming here, if I am in the right consciousness, I will have a Vrindavan experience. So I put this in my mind. And I came and I thought, wow, Goloka Dham is not near Birkenfeld. The navigation system has it all wrong. It's not near Frankfurt. It's all wrong. It's really in the spiritual world. I thought like this in my mind. I consciously meditated like this. And when I saw the devotees, I didn't think these are people struggling with their minds. But I thought these are great souls on the way to Krishna. I chose to see it in such a spiritually informed way, which is correct. You are looking at you, at us materially. We are still not on the level of perfection. Sometimes we struggle with our mind, but it is the spiritual perspective is we are fortunate souls, fortunate people who have been touched by the mercy of a great devotee and Krishna, and we have responded to this touch, to this call, and we have started to go the spiritual way. So I consciously put in my mind this determination: while I'm here in Goloka Dham, I will really try to keep my consciousness like this, as if I'm in the spiritual world. This is what I also do in Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, you can see Vrindavan with material eyes, no problem. You will see an open canalization system. You will see people who somehow make a living beyond the WHO poverty level standards. You know, they're poorer than what is described to be poverty. You see that the real kings, the real government of Vrindavan is in the hands of monkeys who control everything by their tarot. You can see things materially, but you can choose to leave the spiritual platform, and when you do so, you see Vrindavan spiritually. You actually discover spiritual things, and Krishna actually comes to you and responds to you. See, the world is a mirror, and this is, it shows you what you think the world is, and especially in spiritual life, especially you can choose to be on the material platform, like most of us are 90% of the time when we are, you know. Or you can make an effort, wow, I'm going to be on the spiritual platform. Then when you make this conscious choice, or you make this conscious determination, then Krishna will respond like this. So I made this decision. Let me go to Goloka Vrindavan and not see, not Goloka Vrindavan, Goloka Dham. let me visit Goloka Dham, and let me make an effort to leave my material consciousness behind, which is unfortunately still there, and see Radha Madan Mohan, see the devotees as great souls, chant the holy name, not as an observer, but as a devotee who makes a loving offering of his chanting to the Lord. And I had made this experience that I felt so blissful all my stay that I didn't believe. Was this real? Maybe Gaurahari had put some mood changer in the water, something which increased the serotonin level, the level of happiness, the chemical element which gives a feeling of happiness. I didn't think that, but I'm just saying it. I thought, is it possible? When will it stop? I felt at that time the power of the blessings of our wonderful deities, Sri Sri Radha Madan Mohan, elevating me throughout the stay. And I attributed first and foremost to their powerful presence and their tremendous mercy. And second of all, I also attribute it to the fact that I try to be a receiver. I try to make my heart a place where I could receive the spiritual reality and the spiritual world. And these two things combined, I think, worked the miracle, if you ask me. So I would like to also stay this time in this consciousness where I see all of you as parts of God, divine beings on their way back home, back to Godhead. I want to see the deities as the Lord and his dearmost consort, Srimati Radharani, enacting their loving pastimes. And I'm want to really meditate upon receiving the mercy of Lord Nityananda. And I want to encourage you to join all the devotees who also have come to do this, and join this festival with a light heart, with a devotional heart, with an eager heart, and receive the blessings. Today I would like to speak about one verse with which we are approaching the Lord to obtain his blessings. It's a verse addressed directly to Radha Madan Mohan, and it is very deep and very it's like begging for the blessings, really, so that we can collect blessings. Many of you know the verse. Those who are knowledgeable, please chant it with me.
Jayatam surato pango, jayatam surato pango, mama manna mate gati,
mama manna mate gati,
matsavasya padam bojo,
matsavasya padam bojo,
Radha Madana Mohano,
Radha Madana Mohano,
Jayatam Surato Pango,
Jayatam Surato Pango,
Mama Manda Mate Gati,
Mama Manda Mate Gati,
Matsarvasya Padam Bujo,
Matsarvasya Padam Bujo,
Shri Radha Madana Mohano, Jayatam Surato Pango,
Jayatam Surato Pango,
Mama Manna Mate Gati, Matsarvasya Padam Bujo,
Matsarvasya Padam Bujo,
Radha Madana
Mohano.
Glory, glory to the all merciful Radha Madan Mohan. I'm lame and ill advised, yet they are my directors, and their lotus feet are everything to me. This verse was composed by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. His story is interesting. You know that when there was a deep quarrel in his house about a spiritual issue, he felt extremely discouraged. He felt in a house where my Lord is not properly respected, there is no place for me. And he went to bed with sadness in his heart. Lord Nityananda had been disrespected there. In the night, something extraordinary happened to him. The Lord appeared to him and directed him to go to Vrindavan. "Oh, Krishna Das," said Lord Nityananda, and smiled. As he smiled, Krishna Das Kaviraj saw the beautiful white teeth of the Lord, which reflected light like the uncovered moon does. He saw the Lord dressed in a blue dhoti, and the Lord was dancing, and when it, in a deep voice he chanted Krishna Krishna Krishna, and then Krishna Chaitanya
Krishna
Chaitanya
Krishna
Chaitanya. Always as if we are breathing, we normal people. Lord Nityananda says Gauranga 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 Krishna Chaitanya Krishna Chaitanya. He constantly chants, it's on his lips. "Go, go, Krishna Das, I know your sadness, but go to Vrindavan, because in Vrindavan you will achieve all the things which your heart now desires." Krishna Das Kaviraj at that time was quite old. He moved slowly. When he arrived in Vrindavan, everyone could see this is a soul blessed, a blessed soul. And they knew that he had come from Gaura Mandala, which is today Bengal, and had a knowledge about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. So all the Vaishnavas of Vrindavan, who had not much information about Chaitanya. Chaitanya came to Vrindavan only for, I believe, yes, at the end of the month of Kartik, and he stayed around a month and then left. But most of the time in Vrindavan, Mahaprabhu was not really a very public figure. He had made the Braj Mandal Parikrama, that means one time all along Vrindavan, and then he had stayed in a lonely place and had chanted alone for himself, and only in the afternoon he saw some people who wanted to see him and who chanced to hear about him. But the masses of people he did not contact in Vrindavan. He had heard that in Vrindavan one should not make a big assembly with many people when one is on his own pilgrimage. It's good if devotees make retreats and parikrams and Brajmanda parikram, that's something else. But when you go for your own, then you should have a private time with Krishna. No? So I personally do both. I have a private time and then I give the Govardhan retreats where more devotees can come and hear about Krishna. So yes, the Vaishnavas wanted to know about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Vaishnavas of Vrindavan, and they requested Krishna Das, "Why don't you write about the pastimes of Mahaprabhu and write that in a book?" Krishna Das said, "I'm very old." But they requested him. So Krishna Das stayed at a place and a bhajan kutir and Radha Kund, and he listened every day for 4 hours about Gaura Leela from the lips of Raghunath Das Goswami, who had spent time with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri and who had also access to the notes which Swarup Damodar, the personal servant or secretary, if you so wish, of Gauranga Mahaprabhu had. So Krishna Das listened from this direct associate of Mahaprabhu, who was also blessed by Nityananda, and he whatever he heard, he wrote this down, and whatever he remembered, he wrote it down, and then on top of it he put down a conclusive systematic philosophical presentation of the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So therefore his work Chaitanya Charitamrita is considered amongst all the Vaishnavas as the ultimate word on Gauranga Mahaprabhu, because the Leelas are there as they were witnessed by Raghunath Das Goswami and Swarup Damodar Goswami, and as he had heard from reliable sources in Bengal, and also the tattva, that is the correct philosophy about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All this you will find in Chaitanya Charitamrita. But how did he write this? He was very old. He describes himself how he was. He was lame, he did not walk very swiftly, and he was almost blind. For riding, you need your eyes. I have not heard that there were any spectacles at that time like these things. A person who was getting old and couldn't see any longer, no problem. He would go and listen to lectures from the exalted Vaishnavas and hear about Krishna. Yes. Anyway, so he had heard this and he doubted his ability. He said, "I'm so old, I'm so weak, my hands are shaking from old age, I don't see properly." And then he said, "I'm also a little foolish, I'm not intelligent to write." And so when the Vaishnava said, "No problem, you can do it." You know, like in our temples, when someone says, "I can't do it," the devotee says, "Anyway, Prabhu, surrender." And it's not an irrelevant statement. You're like, when you surrender, sometimes miracles happen in your life. If you think, no, I can't do it, then you cannot do it. There's a statement. Both are absolutely right. The one who says, "I can't do it," and the other who says, "I can certainly do it." They're absolutely right. The one who doubts will not be able to do it. The one who has enthusiasm and surrenders will do it. Both are correct. Equally correct. So Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami said, the Vaishnavas say I should do this, but I have a doubt. I'm not sure. I need the blessings, not only of the Vaishnavas, but of the Lord. So he went to this temple, which I think many of you have seen and visited, the Madan Mohan temple, where Madan Mohan, Radha Madan Mohan, were worshipped. And he prayed, "My dear Lord, Shishi Radha Madan Mohan, I have gotten this impossible request by the Vaishnavas, but please, if you can do it, if you think I should write about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then you kindly give me your blessings." So there were many Vaishnavas around him, and they saw this old man trembling, half blind, saying, please, mercy, give me blessing. And as he had finished his prayer, the garland of Madan Mohan just slipped from his neck and fell on the ground, and all the Vaishnavas shouted, Haribol! They saw this is a sign. The priest also felt it. He took the garland which had fallen from the neck of the Lord, and he put it around the chest or the body of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, who then felt blessed by the Lord, and he decided to, yes, I will write it. In his own words, he said, when I prayed to the Lord for permission to write, a garland from his neck slipped down, and the Vaishnava shouted, Haribol! So now I'm writing. He gives this description how he writes. As a wooden doll is made to dance by the magician, I write as Madan Gopal orders me to do so. In the West, we know puppets who are moved on the string. That's one way to move a puppet. This, like the, I remember as a child, I always would look to the Puppentheater, das Augsburger Puppentheater. I remember the puppet theater of Augsburg. I would especially appreciate Lukas der Lokomotivführer und Jim Knopf. Every German knows what this is, you know, the heroes. It was very nicely presented, and I think every Saturday for the children we sat and we watched it like the Indians watched Mahabharata, you know, same devotion. These are some types of puppets. They are used by strings, but Krishnadas gives a different example. He gives the example of a wooden doll, which is like a doll, you know, wood, out of wood, and then the magician moves it in some ways, I don't know how, and then the wooden doll starts to move as if by magic. There is some explanation, some way they do it, but it looks really magically. Magic exists when you see this. So also Krishnadas Kaviraj says, I'm foolish, I'm lowborn, and I'm very insignificant. And I always desire material enjoyment. Yet, somehow, by Madan Gopal's, Madan Gopal, Madan Mohan, same personality, by Madan Mohan's blessings, I write. I cannot understand. If you ask me how does this happen, I don't know. It's just like if you see a magic doll, and dancing, imagine this would now start to speak to you. Hello, welcome. You would not know how it happens. Did Sachinandan Swami do this? Maybe it came from his belly, the sound. It's magic, it's mystery. You cannot understand it if you are not yourself someone who knows the art. So in much the same way, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, it is not possible for me to understand how I write it. I move by the blessings of Madan Mohan. I'm empowered. I cannot tell you more. It is their blessings. So this is how we can understand this verse, which we have chanted and which is very dear to the devotees of Goloka Dham and the pilgrim devotees. Please let us say it again, because I will now explain it on a little deeper level.
jayatam surato pango
mama
manda gati gati
Sarvasya
padam bhujo
Sarvasya padam bhujo
Shishiradha madana mohano
Shishiradha madana mohano
Glory, glory, glory to the all merciful Radha madana mohano. I'm lame. I'm ill advised. Yet they are my directors. At their lotus feet are everything to me. In this verse which Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami uses, he says, Pango, I'm lame. A lame person is someone who can't walk really, or if he walks very slowly, not very quickly. So this Prabhupada says can also mean we move very slowly. In a spiritual sense, our advancement is very slow. And in my mind, it is here where a serious understanding of this verse starts. It starts with me. For me, this verse starts with me. I am also spiritually slow. I would like to move faster, but Pango, I'm lame. I remember once I had a big back problem, and here in Golokadam, the nerve went into somehow here, and I couldn't move the leg any longer, and I started to. I know the moment you stop and you don't try, then you are lost. So I tried to walk. I remember I needed half an hour to come from where I was residing, where I was living, to the temple. Actually, it was 3/4 of an hour. It was really very slow, very painful also. Pango, this is the word, lame. My heart is full of pain because I'm not moving. Or, like, sometimes it happens that we are not thinking it's wrong that we are so slow in our spiritual life. We think everyone is slow. I'm also slow. But I'm fast in my material development. That's very good. I feel very good. It's my life. I'm the best of both worlds. At least I think so. No, you're very slow. Very slow. Embarrassingly slow. And if you look with the eyes of honesty, you will see it. You will see it. So many years. Ooh. So this is what Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami says. I'm very slow. He's very honest. He's frank and open. And it gives me pain. And Manda Matea, Prabhupada translates it in a very gentlemanly way. Ill-advised. What this means is the mind. Mati means the mind, the inclination. Manda is like unfortunate. My mind gives me unfortunate instructions. In a simple, clear, forward way, it means I'm very foolish, if I'm honest. But he says, no problem. I mean, he says, I know the solution. Matsarvasya padambujo. I take shelter at the lotus feet of Radha Madan Mohan. And Prabhupada gives a very nice little point here. He says, a lotus petal, looks a little bit like this, huh? And he says it looks like a boat, the petal of a lotus flower. So I'm taking a shelter at the beautiful lotus feet of Radha Madan Mohan, and therefore, because of their blessings, somehow miracles happen through me. Not because of my own strengths, but because I'm taking shelter, therefore by the mercy and the blessings of Radha Madan Mohan, my life is wonderful. There is a verse in the Bhagavatam spoken by Lord Brahma about taking shelter at the boat of the lotus feet. Can I please chant it for you?
Samashitaye padapalava plavam mahat padam punyayasho murare pavam mudirvatsa padam 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 yad vipadam natesham.
Such a beautiful verse. Prabhupada would like to chant this on. Just hear this, please.
Padam 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 yat vipadam natesham.
It goes like this.
Pavam mudivatsa padam 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 yat vipadam natesham.
It is very poetic. I think we can appreciate this. It says, for those who have accepted the boat of the lotus feet of the Lord, Radha Madan Mohan, who is the shelter of the cosmic manifestation and is famous as Murari, the enemy of the Mura demon. For those who have taken this shelter, the ocean of the material world is like the water contained in a calf's hoof print. Very small. Their goal is Padam Padam, Vaikuntha, the place where is no material miseries. Not the place where there is danger at every step. So the idea is, it's very difficult to cross the ocean of samsara. Very difficult. It's a big ocean. It's Sven Heidel, they say it's reported he went on a float, a Kon-Tiki float, across the Atlantic Ocean. Very, very, very good. He called his boat the Kon-Tiki. Kon-Tiki. Something like this. I don't forgot really. Maybe not. Something with K. I read as a child his book how he crossed the ocean, and sometimes it was very. It looked as if he would drown, and his floatized flows would also drown. But somehow he crossed. However, there is one ocean which no one can cross alone. That's the ocean of material life, the ocean of samsara. For that you need a special boat, the boat of the lotus feet. And the moment the boat is so wonderful, the moment you enter this boat, means you take shelter really at the lotus feet of Radha Madan Mohan, then the problems seem to be very, very small. They seem to shrink to the size of the water which you find in a hoofprint of a calf. The whole ocean shrinks. Have you experienced this? When Damodar Priya, you were ill, did you experience also when you actually are able to take shelter, you lose the fear? Because Vaikuntha has happened for you. I've seen in many, many devotees, at the moment there is a devotee who dies from cancer. The bodily weight is only 34 kgs. And the devotee is blissful because he found shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord. The whole world of anxiety, and I mean to die from cancer is not a small thing, you know, it is a difficult situation. But no anxiety any longer. It's gone. The mind is free from anxieties, because that is the special blessing of this boat, of the lotus feet of the Lord, that when one can really make a contact, one is free from anxiety. I have personally seen this in my own life when I was diagnosed also cancer, colon cancer, Darmkrebs. I came before Radha Madan Mohan, and I took full shell and said, I'm giving now my life to you. I'm finally ready to give up my plans and my ideas, and you please do with me what you wish. And I remember at that time, although I still thought the disease will get me, I will be maybe half a year or one more year, although I remember the anxiety left me, because somehow the Lord had accepted me, I guess, for a moment in His safe boat, the boat of His lotus feet. This verse, if you like to read it, it's a wonderful verse which you might even like to commit to memory. You can find it in the 10th canto, the 14th chapter, I hope I'm right, means Brahma's prayers to Lord Krishna. Anyone know so little in the 10th canto? Yes, chapter 14, verse 58. It's a favorite verse of Srila Prabhupada. He would often chant it, and he would often smile about this padam 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 yati padam. He would say, "This is poetry." He would say like this. Yes. So, blessings. Blessings can be collected at the lotus feet of Shri Radha Madan Mohan. Their mercy really makes everything possible for each one of us. But I think the most important aspect of their mercy is that we will become free from fear. There are many verses about the mercy of the Lord. For instance, Mukam karoti vachalam pangum langayate girim yat kripatam maham vande paramananda madhavam. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Him who turns the dumb into eloquent speakers. Even if someone doesn't really know to speak, the mercy or blessings can make him speak. It enables the lame to cross mountains. If you cannot move nicely, you can all of a sudden become a mountain climber. Such is the mercy of the Lord. There are many verses like this in our scriptures. This comes from Sridhar Swami, but Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has also said, if you remember the lotus feet of Panchatattva, even a dumb man can become a poet, a layman can cross mountains, and a blind man, and he was blind but he could see, how he could ride, can see the stars in the sky. So the idea is blessings are more powerful than our own efforts. By blessings, yeah, you can become a mountain climber if you are lame, if you are not really able to speak because the mind is a little confused and it's not possible for you to clearly explain something that others can understand. You can do it if you get the blessings of the Lord by surrendering clearly, or if you are blind, you can look into the night sky at midnight and see all the stars, including the Great Bear and the Waage and whatever they are called, the astrological constellations. By blessings, everything is possible. I want to end this class by making three quick points about getting blessings. First of all, it's good to be clear what special blessings Radha Madan Mohan can give. There are many blessings which we can ask for. But this is a spiritual. The Lord is the Lord, so we should know, really. I remember once a little anecdote with Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada was going on the train through India, and we always rented a compartment for him. And then when it became known that he was on the train, many people came from the train to get his darshan, like it is customary in India. Darshan in India means you're just coming to the sadhu and he sees you, and that's enough. His mercy is given by when he looks at you. So there was not much discussion, but one man asked Prabhupada for his ashivad. Ashivad means blessings. And Prabhupada knew what he wanted. Material things like more wealth and so on. That is common in India. Someone comes to you and asks for your ashivad. They usually want material blessings. So Prabhupada smiled and said, "I bless you that you become like this," and showed to the devotees. And the man said, "Not yet, Swamiji. Thank you very much." Not yet. Noch nicht. Not yet the time. The blessing, special blessing of the Lord is and of the sadhus, two things. It's sambandha and abhideya. It's that we know our relationship with Krishna, become more encouraged that we have a relationship, we should act in this relationship. And abhideya, it means that we can really perform our spiritual sadhana, our spiritual activities with bliss, you know, with taste, our chanting, our service, and so on. These are the blessings of a sadhu and the blessings of Radha Madan Mohan. We should ask them. Now, second point, where do we receive the blessings of God? Where do you receive? If a gift is given to you, how do you take it? I mean, really, when this is a wonderful thermos. Imagine I would give it to Gaur Krishna. I would not hesitate to do this because I know he would give it back to me. But just as an example, if I want to give it to him as a gift, how would he receive it? A thing like this is, yeah, of course, with the hands. But the question is, how do you receive, or where do you receive the blessings of God? Where is this done? It is done, it is received in the heart. It's just like when you want Charanamrita, the bathing water of the Lord. How do you get it? Where do you get it? If you want a lot, you have to get a cup. And then you have to make sure that the cup is really working. When we are in Jamashtami here, devotees bring all kinds of cups and sometimes broken clay pots. Don't bring a broken heart. Means that you can bring a broken heart. It's good. Sometimes even you're more serious when this. But don't bring a heart which has holes. Holes means lust, anger, enviousness, greed, illusion, all these things. All these enemies sit around our heart and drill holes in our heart. And then when we come to Krishna, we are so envious of another devotee, or we are so much in illusion about ourselves and about the process of Krishna consciousness, or we are so mad at something. These are holes which keep the blessings, which don't keep the blessings, but it runs out. You must come not as a cheater but as a real devotee, ready to get the blessings and do something. And my last point is about, it's all about collecting blessings. What is the blessing was the first point. What is the container where to get it? You know, when we get something, we usually want to give something back. Do you also feel this in your heart? When you obtain something, you feel, oh, I should not just take. And we even feel, if I only take, I don't think I will benefit so much. Do you also know this in your own life? When someone gives something very precious to you, you want to repay. This is a normal reaction in a normal functioning person. So how do we repay the debt to the sadhus and to the Lord? I think this is an important question, because somehow in the experience which I have in my spiritual life, is the gifts really come when I am when I'm not qualified. I'm never qualified, but when I'm trying to be in the mood of a servant and trying to surrender and so on. I think getting blessings has to do also with a reciprocational relationship. In Deutsch ist es eine beidseitige Beziehung, würde ich sagen. I would like to read you something which here. Prabhupada once gave a lecture, and one of my god brothers, he has left the body by now, he said, Prabhupada, how can I repay you? What can I give you? And Prabhupada said something very beautiful. He said, you don't require to repay, no need. And then he laughs and says, I'm not giving you anything. It is Krishna's property. Give back to Krishna. Chant Hare Krishna and he will be repaid. Nobody can repay Krishna's debt. That is Krishna. Therefore it is better to remain always obliged. That's all. That's all right. Chant Hare Krishna. He says two things. He says three things, actually. He is almost embarrassed. He says, please don't thank me. Thank Krishna. The second thing he says is Krishna cannot be repaid. What he gives is so great, you have nothing in your possession. But he accepts if you chant his holy name, and then that's all right. Then he feels he is repaid. And the third point is, and I feel it is here where is an important qualification, remain obliged. Remain always obliged. How to say that in German language? To remain obliged. Ja, bleibe zu Dank verpflichtet. Also bleibe Dank. Ja, obliged heißt nicht nur dankbar, it doesn't only mean remain grateful, it means feel that, oh yes, I want to give, I want to give. I feel here is three points which are necessary in order to understand how to obtain blessings. I wish you all the best, my dear devotees, in this festival. Know that it is a festival of Lord Nityananda, and I already see, I do not know, but I interpret that this is an ocean of mercy with bubbles. Is this right? Or right?
Yes.
No, honestly?
No,
there
was not really
denied that. It is. Krishna has blessed you without you knowing it. No, this is, look, this looks as if we are in a, and I'm Schaumbad oder so. Like it's in other words a foaming ocean. You know, with foam. It's not an ordinary boring ocean. It is really with something is happening. It's a turbulent ocean. It is a ein Schaumbad ocean, you know. It's really wonderful. The ocean of mercy. And one thing is, you know, it's my duty to always present the different details of the philosophy. Not duty, it's my interest. I like to know and research things like this. But if you think, oh, this was too complicated, I can't remember Sachinanda Swami's lectures. Maybe one story or one joke, but I just can't remember. I'm like in this verse, you know, Pango and Manda Mati, you know. I sometimes feel like this. Memory is going. No problem. Tomorrow, is it tomorrow? The day after tomorrow is a very extraordinary day of blessing. It's the day of Lord Nityananda's appearance there, and I can just say, be here. Just be here. Like a stone in the ocean. Even a stone which comes in the ocean will get wet. Just be here. The blessings of him will come. He gave the blessings to Jagai and Madai. We will hear about this in some detail. We will hear. Lord Nityananda doesn't distinguish who is qualified or not, but he wants to see persons who become eager, begierig. With this, he gives with this simple qualification, eagerness. He gives. He freely gives. So this was a little bit about, I have come to the end. The presentation is collecting blessings. My points were, just in summary, to go over this verse to Radha Madan Mohan. It is the pranam mantra to Radha Madan Mohan, and to explain how Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, the author, embodies this verse, because he felt himself lame, physically lame, but he also in his humility said, I'm also moving slow in a spiritual way. Mm-hmm. And the way I can overcome this problem is I take shelter at Radha Madan Mohan, and I'm sure they will give the blessings. And he got the blessings and wrote his masterpiece, the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which, by the way, my dear devotees, I don't know if you know, this is the authoritative statement about Chaitanya. Even in this academic world, it is accepted that this work is the gives the best perspective and understanding of, let us say, the spiritual phenomena of Gauranga Mahaprabhu's appearance. It's the best and the most conclusive book. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada, when he was in two minds, should he translate Chaitanya Bhagavat, another very important work by the Vyasadeva of Gauranga's pastimes, Vrindavan Das Thakur, or should he go to Chaitanya Charitamrita? He chose Chaitanya Charitamrita as the book on Gauranga Mahaprabhu, which he would comment on. This work, yeah, it is the result of blessings, divine blessings. It was written by a blessed soul who overcame all the obstacles by divine strength. I'm sure you will all collect your blessings. You will be ecstatic in Krishna consciousness, I hope, I pray. May you all be blessed by attending this festival. I thank you very much that you have come. This is just the beginning. We have not even started, and you are already there. And thank you so much. It gives me great happiness, and I hope to serve you nicely with all the other devotees. We have a whole team: Gaurahari, Bhagavadama, and his wife, Damodar Priya, and all the pujaris. Damodar Priya maybe in the function of a director of the pujaris, and everyone has come. Ananda Chaitanya has hopefully brought his voice with him so that we can sing new Ananda Chaitanya melodies if possible. So in this way, very nice. Blessings, blessings, blessings. We are praying to Radha Madan Mohan, you too, from them and to all of you. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gauri Thai ki jai, Gaura Prema Rai ki jai, Krishna 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 Gaura Hari Sisi Radha Madan Mohan ki Pujaris, maybe we can just all turn to Radha Madan Mohan and very loudly pronounce the pranam mantra. Please, all together.
Jayatam sarato pango mama manna mate gati matsarva svaparam bojo radha madana mohano
shishi radha madan mohana ki gaura prema nanni.
Hare Krishna, please here again in this direction. But turn as much as possible to Radha Madan Mohan during the festival, as much. Good. Do you have any brief questions which we can answer? I see Damya has a question. Your good name again?
Sasirika.
Very good. Bhakti Gamya, your good question.
You mentioned that about taking shelter of Krishna, and you gave example of when there was some physical illness, which is why one to take shelter of Krishna. So I'm just wondering how to take shelter of Krishna in each moment without
this, waiting for this. Bhakti Gamya, I was afraid of this question because I will talk about this in detail tomorrow. But since you have asked, your question is really nice. Should we all wait until something drastic happens and then only we can take shelter? Okay, can we do it earlier without this prompting, I think we say in English, no? the prompting of misery, okay, too. Well, there are two reasons why one takes shelter. One is one understands the glories of Krishna and then takes shelter 100%. And the other is one sees one has no other choice. And unfortunately, it is like this, that the materially exhausted, those who feel misery, they and mostly take easier shelter. It is like this. We are in manna mati, you know, mati means the inclination is not correct. Mati means the inner orientation. I'm so stubborn. I wanted to tell this. I can tell now, because then I tell it two times. Then everyone remembers it. You know, there was once a great devotee with his servants, ten associates, some disciples, some just there. They went through a jungle. And all of a sudden they saw the underbrush. Is this called underbrush? Undergrowth. Mm-hmm. That's where the jungle, the wood, you know, the forest trees, they parted, and there was a ferocious looking hunter. You know, he really was all taken ashes, he had taken fur, he was really, and he had instruments to kill. He came out of the bush. He was standing there trembling. He was obviously confused. Wow. We started to celebrate. It looked like in an Indian truck, no? Or part of a Pakistan truck, when they fall asleep, the drivers, they have these lights. For celebration, it was very nice. Wonderful. Oh, it's a celebration decoration. So this hunter came out and he was really confused, and the great devotee, the son of Kuresha, asked, what happened to you? And the hunter said, I'm totally confused. I took my bow and I was aiming the arrow at a fat rabbit, I was just about to release the arrow when the rabbit noticed my life is in danger. Now the rabbit ran towards me like a dart, darted towards me, and then it ran around me and put the feet his head on my feet as a gesture of surrender. And I was standing there, and I think, should I shoot the fat rabbit? I'm shooting rabbits normally. Then I thought, I can't kill the poor thing, it takes shelter at my lotus feet. Not my lotus feet. Certainly didn't think that. It takes shelter. It's a, what do? Imagine someone runs to you and puts his head on your feet. The first thing is you will become highly confused. Buddha, Barbara, save me! You know, it's highly irritating. But then if he means it, you're my only hope. My only hope. You are well educated. You are merciful. You know everything. You must help me. Then you feel, can you please sit up first and we can talk about it. You know, but you feel inclined. So the hunter said, I don't know. I can't shoot. I was not shooting the rabbit. Something changed in my heart. Now I don't know if I can live any longer hunting because I feel this is not right. So this great devotee heard this. When the hunter was finished, he fell down and fainted. With great effort, the other associates were just sprinkling water on his face. And then they asked Guru Maharaj, why have you fainted? He said, I'm just thinking, this rabbit did not read the Bhagavad Gita. And the hunter didn't give a promise to give shelter to those who come and surrender to him. But we have read the Bhagavad Gita and we have heard the promise of Krishna that surrender unto me and I will take care of all your karmic reactions. But still we don't surrender. Surrender is so natural that even a rabbit can do it. And a hunter is, even a cruel hunter gives shelter. It's so natural, it's so normal. Why can't we? We will talk about this tomorrow. I will also ask a very provocative question. Is surrender such a bad word? I will ask this question in the lecture and answer it from Shastra. Is it such a bad word? I will ask that. Because in our linguistic context it is, but it's this not the same as Sharanagati. Different concepts, but everything will become clear to us. Come to the coming attractions. Yes, most of us are waiting like the rabbit when really the arrow is upon us, and then we go, oh my God, it's psychology. We will hear tomorrow why. The thing is, we have turned against Krishna. We made that mistake, and we are very accustomed to turning away from Krishna. In Vaidhi Bhakti, we are very determined. In Raga Bhakti, we are very determined. We are very determined to not surrender. Despite all our concepts. But something can be done. It is very, but tomorrow, the day after tomorrow, Nityananda, everything will be cleared. Your path will be free. No one will understand what was the the difference between the Bhakti Gamya who came to the festival and who came back from the festival. Hare Krishna. Is surrender such a bad word? This question will be asked. Good.
Maharaj, by receiving blessings, do we receive also automatically taste for the devotional service, or it is our own responsibility to do something, and what is this to get the taste?
Krishna, yeah, good question. It is said there are two practices in devotional service. Ajata Ruchi Sadhan. It is a spiritual practice where the taste is not yet born, and that process is attributed to the Vaidhi Bhakti orientation. It's where we just, you know, go through the motions and we act as if with the hope that one day we will get to the place where we can do it with spontaneous taste. And the other is the a devotee whose taste is jata ruchi sadhana. He does a ruchi, which is he does sadhana spiritual practice, and his taste is already born. So this taste for the practice, for devotional practices, it is, where is it coming from? It is it's a special type of taste which we are looking at. It's a taste where you will automatically also lose your taste for material attachments. Maybe not simultaneously, but gradually you will, that ruchi, that taste, is described like this, that you will lose the taste for material attachments. You will, this will happen. And from where does this come? What we hear is it comes from these great devotees who are themselves full of taste. And what we do is we see their practice and we become somehow infused with this desire. There is a verse in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu where one devotee says like this: I was engaged in my household, household activities. Then I saw this great soul overwhelmed with spiritual ecstasy passing by. And since that time, I have this same inclination, and therefore I'm now leaving and doing like this. The example is Narada Muni. In his previous life, when he was the servant of the boy of a maid servant, and he saw and served these great souls who came in the rainy season to his house, and in that association he got that taste. This is the general understanding. Now Jiva Goswami brings this point a little further, and in my opinion he brings it a little bit closer to us and our experience. See, it's not always easy to find these great souls. And if you find them, they will keep the expression of their ecstasies. They won't make a public spectacle out of it. I know this in relationship to Srila Prabhupada. We saw a few times only. I mean, I saw twice how he was experiencing the Krishna Bhavanamrita, the nectar of the Bhava, the Amrita of Krishna consciousness. It's a very nice description which I found in this book, Without Fear, of this event which happened in Mayapur, and I was happy that many devotees saw it, and it is very nicely documented in this book, Without Fear. And the lecture which Prabhupada gave and what happened is also described there. So, but usually he kept that for himself, because in the Shastras, devotional Shastras, it is said that these things are not shown to the public. It's just not done for various reasons. And it's not easy to find such great devotees, and if you find them to become infused by, you know, this like this example from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, someone cooking there, he sees a devotee in ecstasy passing by, with his hairs on end, pale, you know, chaka 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 chaka. He wants to say Jagannath, but he only brings it up to Jaga. Jaga, Jaga, Jaga. And he's in ecstasy. That's slow, very rare. I think on my last visit I saw a great devotee like this. I saw the real tears of ecstasy. I believe so very strongly. Great devotee of Krishna. Jiva Goswami says, go to the assembly of devotees who chant the holy name, because in their association delightful feelings. This is a scholarly translation of this Anucheda, this section. Delightful feelings are created. And I have seen this in the Kirtan festivals. You need to sit there, sit like 8 hours, no problem. You work 8 hours, why not Kirtan 8 hours? Why so restless? So you sit there and you participate in the Kirtan, and then something comes that in the evening you go into your room, and the whole night you hear the sound vibration of the holy name. Many experience this. Something spontaneous, something which is not forced, which comes due to the that happens. Jiva Goswami, he said this, and it is the experience of many, that this delightful feelings. And it happens like this. I would like to end with a mundane example. Our generation, as you know, is a little spoiled with Western music. And I remember when I was a child, I saw Jimi Hendrix. I think he's forgotten. He was a talented guitar player. He didn't have very... I don't want to comment on his character. That's not the job. But he really appreciated, he really was, when he played, he was someone else. He was very shy as a person, but something came in him, and he was composing things on the spot, which are, I could not follow because I was young, but no one could follow. It was masterpieces of that type of music. That type of music. If you don't like it, no problem. You know, it's that type of music. And I remember I saw as a child how he was really in the absorbed in music, let us say, musically absorbed. And it made such a deep impression on me that I thought, I will play like this. And I requested a guitar for my birthday. Then I went to the guitar teacher and I said, I'm here to learn to play. He said, fine. And this is the first lesson. I said, no, not like this. Like Jimi Hendrix. And I had a music with me. Hear this. This is how I want to play. Forget it. This takes years and lifetimes to play like this. I can't teach you. I'm not an expert in this type of music, but it's really a genius in his field. But I had seen it, and I thought, and I even got although I'm a terrible musician, I even got a guitar and started to practice on my own, on my guitar. I didn't succeed at all, but I was at least inspired. So when you see devotees who relish Krishna consciousness, if you hear them, if you hear what they appreciate, then something comes in your heart, some taste in doing it. That's the only reason why I joined and became a devotee. I heard a recording of Srila Prabhupada's ecstatic singing, and because I appreciated music at that time and I could hear he was someone in a different world of and I thought, I want this also. I will learn this. I will become a devotee also. I will, yes, saving up, no problem for this. I'm surrendering everything. So this taste is born in the association of devotees. And it also happens when there are assemblies where the kirtan, where Krishna served in the form of his holy name, and where you join the assembly with that motivation, I want to please Krishna in the association of devotees by kirtan, then you get delight, you get taste, these two things. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. I will end here the presentation and request Gaura Hari to come and give us an orientation. Hare Krishna.